What I warn you to remember is that I'm a detective. Our relationship with truth is fundamental but cracked, refracting confusingly like fragmented glass. It's the core of our careers, the endgame of every move we make, and we pursue it with strategies painstakingly constructed of lies and concealment and every variation on deception. The truth is the most desirable woman in the world, and we are the most jealous lovers, reflexively denying anyone else the slightest glimpse of her. We betray her routinely, spending hours and days stupor deep in lies, and then turn back to her holding out the lover's ultimate Mobius strip. But I only did it because I love you so much. I have a pretty knack for imagery, especially the cheap facile kind. Don't let me fool you into seeing us as a bunch of parfy genteel knights galloping off in doublets after Lady Truth on her white palfrey. What we do is crude, crass, and nasty. A girl gives her boyfriend an alibi for the evening when we suspect him of robbing a North Side Centra and stabbing the clerk. I flirt with her at first, telling her I can see why he would want to stay home when he's got her. She's peroxided and greasy, with the flat, stunted features of generations of malnutrition, and privately, I'm thinking that if I were her boyfriend, I would be relieved to trade her even for a hairy cellmate named Razor. Then I tell her we've found marked bills from the till in his classy white tracksuit bottoms, and he's claiming that she went out that evening and gave them to him when she got back. I do it so convincingly, with such delicate cross-hatching of discomfort and compassion at her man's betrayal, that finally her faith in 4 shared years disintegrates like a sandcastle. And through tears and snot, while her man sits with my partner in the next interview room saying nothing except, "Fuck off, I was home with Jackie," she tells me everything from the time he left the house to the details of his sexual shortcomings. Then I pat her gently on the shoulder and give her a tissue and a cup of tea and a statement sheet. This is my job, and you don't go into it, or if you do, you don't last, without some natural affinity for its priorities and demands. What I'm telling you, before you begin my story, is this. 2 things. I crave truth, and I lie. This is what I read in the file the day after I made detective. I will come back to this story again and again in any number of different ways. A poor thing possibly but mine own. This is the only story in the world that nobody but me will ever be able to tell. On the afternoon of Tuesday, August the 14th, 1984, 3 children, Germaine, Jamie, Eleanor Rowan, Adam Robert Ryan and Peter Joseph Savage, all aged 12, were playing in the road where their houses stood, in the small county Dublin town of Knocknaree. As it was a hot, clear day, many residents were in their gardens, and numerous witnesses saw the children at various times during the afternoon, balancing along the wall at the end of the road, riding their bicycles, and swinging on a tire swing. Knocknaree was at that time very sparsely developed, and a sizeable wood adjoined the estate, separated from it by a 5-foot wall. Around 3 p.m, the 3 children left their bicycles in the Savage's front garden, telling Mrs. Angela Savage, who was in the garden hanging washing on the line, that they were going to play in the wood. They did this often, and knew that part of the wood well, so Mrs. Savage wasn't worried that they would become lost. Peter had a wristwatch, and she told him to be home by 6:30 for his tea. This conversation was confirmed by her next-door neighbour, Mrs. Mary Therese Corrie, and several witnesses saw the children climbing over the wall at the end of the road and going into the wood. When Peter Savage had not returned by 6:45, his mother called around to the mothers of the other 2 children, assuming he had gone to one of their houses. None of the children had returned. Peter Savage was normally reliable, but the parents didn't at that point become worried. They assumed that the children had become absorbed in a game and forgotten to check the time. At approximately 7:05, Mrs. Savage went around to the wood by the road, walked a little way in, and called the children. She heard no answer, and neither saw nor heard anything to indicate any person was present in the wood. She returned home to serve tea to her husband, Mr. Joseph Savage, and their 4 younger children. After tea, Mr. Savage and Mr. John Ryan, Adam Ryan's father, went a little further into the wood, called the children, and again received no response. At 8:25, when it was beginning to grow dark, the parents became seriously worried that the children might have become lost, and Miss Alicia Rowan, Germaine's mother, a single parent, who had a telephone, rang the police.